talking to a coworker today about that very thing. I told him that the thing about this endeavor was that it was quite an exercise for me, something like I have never done before, trying to build and form a series of lessons, a series of guidance based on biblical understanding and scripture that anybody in the world needs and can use. Hopefully it will lead them closer to God, but even so, and either way, it can lead them closer to happiness and peace, which ultimately should lead them to God. And building this and getting prepared for it without stressing out, it has been quite a learning experience for me. Two nights ago, I lay in bed and sleep evaded me, and I thought, why, you're just an idiot. You're not even taking your own advice. And I slept like a baby ever since. So, I would like you guys to sit back, follow along with the handout or not. It doesn't matter. It's exactly the same information. However, the handout has all of the information except what I'm ad-libbing. So you can take those and present just the handout. And if someone has half the intelligence of a normal person, they ought to be able to follow the dots from A to B. It's a very simple process. It's going to be lengthy because I'm dealing with a very important subject in life, but it's a very simple understanding. Let not your heart be troubled. Notice in the title, which comes from Scripture, it doesn't say, troubles will never happen to you. The implication is that the trouble will not settle and stay. In December of 1777, after an extended campaign, tough battles, and a long, heavy march, George Washington's army arrived at Valley Forge, a place that he chose for many strategic reasons. One of them was not the availability of clean water. One of them was not the proximity of resources and supplies. One of them was not balmy weather or structures to thrive in. He chose them for battle purposes, for defense purposes, for moving purposes, and for general purposes associated with the war that was going on. He arrived in Valley Forge with approximately 12,000 troops. Only one in four still had shoes on their feet. They got there sore, wounded, tired. And it was December. It took them a week to build the first hut. They were there exactly 6 months. And during that winter, which was not the heaviest and the harshest on record, it was not, as a matter of fact, that led to part of the problem. It was not a terrible winter. It didn't snow very much, which led to a water shortage. Through that winter, George Washington sat and suffered beside his men as he watched them face and fight through starvation and malnutrition because of that, dehydration for a lack of fresh water and a lack of snow to melt for it. They fought through disease, diphtheria, smallpox, muddy conditions, wet conditions that prolonged this and exacerbated the nasty conditions that they had to live through. He watched them go through this. And in watching them, he knew that this place was chosen by him. He watched them and he knew that they were only there for one reason. He ordered them to be. And they followed him there. He watched them and he knew that it was his responsibility and it was his fault. As 2,500 of them died. His wife came in February. Many wives and their families came through January and February to try to help. But that just meant more mouths to feed, more firewood to cut. 2,500 of his men died because of where he encamped. He had to do it, but it was because of his decisions. That man knows what stress is all about. Not to mention the furtherance of his campaigns during the war, his tenure in the office. You know what got him through it? Be honest with you. It was his faith. Yes, he was a patriot. Absolutely a patriot to the idea and the foundation of the country. But that was because of his faith in God. Tonight I'm not going to talk about the reasons that you need to get stress out of your life to be a Christian. Tonight I'm not going to talk about stress and how it relates to eternal life. Tonight I'm not going to talk about conversion from a non-believer to a believer. What I'm going to talk about tonight is life. What God gave us, life. So whether those people out there that you speak to, that you are, that you were, are Christians or not, it's absolutely 100% applicable. Because it is life. And everybody has to deal with it. As we go through it, you'll see that I based my presentation on Scripture. As a matter of fact, it's overflowing with Scripture. But that's because it's the best source of information we have. Science, the medical community, agree with me on that. So, to begin with, stress. What is stress? Well, this book does not weigh very much. Both of my daughters can pick this book up and walk off with it. You know how much it weighs? Not very much. Yet. The longer I hold that book, the heavier it gets. Don't believe me? You try it. There will come a point where if I continue to hold it, I can actually injure myself. I can actually force myself to ignore the pain, to ignore the warning signs, to reach a point that I'll create an injury with this little bitty book. My friend, stress is nothing but pressure. According to the dictionary, it's a constraining force. It's something that pushes on you, presses against you. Pressure. It is tension, mental, physical, emotion. It is pressure on a system, and that system that we're talking about tonight is your life. Stress applies pressure to your life. So, we ask ourselves, how much pressure can our life hang on to? You see, stress is like a spring. It's ready to release energy. And that's actually what stress is designed for. Look in nature. Look at the gazelle. The gazelle walks up to a water hole in the evening to get a drink. What does the gazelle do? We've all seen National Geographic. We've all seen PBS. The gazelle walks up and looks around. Very attentive. Reaches down, takes a drink of water with a twitching ear, and quickly rises again. You know what makes that gazelle rise? Stress. That gazelle's body says, there's danger out there. And the longer I sit here, the higher the danger becomes until it reaches the breaking point. And the gazelle gives in to the stress. Comes out of the water to look around again. The lion is in the brush, waiting for the gazelle to put his head down again. You know what the lion is doing? Creeping, crouching, and as soon as the gazelle moves, he freezes. He stops moving in a way that he cannot do otherwise. The stress of that moment allows his body to stop moving. His heartbeat will slow. His breath rate will slow. His pupils will dilate and stop moving so that he can take in everything he can see without moving even his eyeballs. His body can't react that way except during these moments of stress. His body is literally a spring, a systemic spring ready to explode. And stress is what allows him to do that. Stress isn't a bad thing. As a matter of fact, stress is necessary for our lives. It allows us to respond to a situation regardless of what it is. It allows us to react. Our problem is not stress. Our problem is letting it build up and not getting rid of it. You know what that lion does? He jumps. You know what the gazelle does? Lifts his head out of the water. You know what I do? I sulk and I worry. And I sweat, and I build more stress. And that is our problem as humans. So what are the symptoms? I think we all know. I don't know anyone here who hasn't experienced stress because we're all humans. Symptoms of stress include fatigue. How many times have you been tired for no reason? Absolutely. Stress, worrying, it'll wear you out. You ever had a back rub and the person says, man, your muscles are really tight, your shoulders are tight? That's a physical response to a buildup of stress. It is. It can be a normal, natural, healthy one, but more than likely not so much. The symptoms of stress stretch all the way to lethality, fatal symptoms. Heart palpitations. You can get increased blood pressure. You can get increased respiratory rates, all because of stress. You can lose weight. You can gain weight. Your weight can fluctuate without any change in your exercise or food intake. Everybody knows, as a child, you were told over and over, hey, pay attention. Because your concentration level as a child isn't all that great, but you learn to develop that. You know what stress does? Gets rid of that ability. Just like a kid, you lose the ability to concentrate. Your decision-making ability, it just goes right down the tube. All of these things happen because of a buildup of stress. And we've all felt them. Had a skin rash because you were worrying so much. Your stomach just doubles over. So let me give you a couple of statistics about stress. The American Psychological Association conducted a survey, and they found that 3/4 of those surveyed, and it was a large one, 3/4 of Americans represented, said that they regularly experience stress. Okay, I can live with that. But 1/3 of them said they're living with extreme stress, as we'll learn later on, can lead to some extreme reactions. Half of them reported laying awake at night. Half of them said that stress had a negative impact on their personal and professional lives, and that it caused them to fight with those close to them. Stress can shatter your career, destroy your life. It can ruin an entire family. The buildup of stress is unbelievably destructive. So, we're going to ask a couple of questions. I would like everyone to raise their hand if it applies to you. If you're too shy, you can just do like this and I'll see it and nobody else will. Okay? So, a show of hands. Who has experienced stress this week? A show of hands. Who has experienced extreme stress, what you believe to be extreme stress, in the last year? Show of hands. How many of you are still holding on to some of that stress? And that's our problem, my friends. That's how it works. We're going to break this presentation up into a couple of categories. Four, and then a conclusion. Four areas of our lives in which we experience stress, very specific, in a very specific way, and how we will deal with them. I'm going to actually give you a recipe for de-stressing your life. Now, does it work? Absolutely. I guarantee you it works. Do I do it? Sometimes. I guarantee you, you will do it sometimes. When you do it, it'll work every time. I know this for a fact because I have faith in my God and my God says it works. I also happen to know that modern medicine agrees with what my God says. So, the first thing we're going to talk about this evening will be what 3/4 of Americans say are the leading cause of stress in their lives. Work and money. A lot of us are retired in this room. But I bet you still have stress from working, whether it be on a weekend roof job, whether it be on guiding contracted work, or whether it be remembering or dealing with old aspects of your job. There's a lot of us here who have current jobs. I'm going to pick on my wife right now. She is a homemaker with 2 children. She has a house. She has animals. She has 2 kids that are that age. And she has a husband that never listens to her. Okay? That's work-related stress. I guarantee you it's the exact same thing. But hers is worse because it falls into one of the categories we'll discuss tomorrow night. And that's family. So it's twofold for her. You may fall into that as a situation as well. So first, let's discuss some work issues. Work. The employer, regardless of your requests or abilities, your employer demands a level of work that is either impossible, improbable, or not conducive to who you are and what you do. Your employee refuses to follow the instructions that are demanded of him, and your employee causes you to lose money or time or other employees, your co-workers. Trying to get a leg up, they deal with you underhandedly. Your customers, insanely angry for no reason, demanding retribution that you don't understand and doesn't make sense. All of these situations occur all the time in the workplace. They all cause stress. They all cause us to reach a point that we just want to throw in the towel. Rand Corporation did a survey. It said that 1 in 5 American workers described their place of employment as a hostile work environment. Half of them reported unpleasant or hazardous work conditions. I'm not talking about, man, I got a lot of paperwork. I'm talking about danger. Talking about fear in the workplace. Half of Americans reported this to be an occurrence. That kind of seems a little bit high, doesn't it? Let me bring it into perspective. The New York Police Department is the largest law enforcement agency in the country. The Los Angeles Police Department is the 2nd largest law enforcement agency in the country. Both of those agencies, their insurance automatically classifies any on duty or off duty and most retired heart medical problems as work related. Automatically. 40% of those officers report feeling extremely stressed. More than a third report sleeping disorders. I'm not talking about can't sleep tonight. Sleeping disorders. So let me put that into a real life perspective that you can understand. The people who defend us, the people who protect us, the people who work to enforce the laws and to separate us from violence and criminals, can't sleep, stressed out, fearful, and know they're going to have a heart attack at any moment. Kind of makes you look at those YouTube videos in a different way, huh? Definitely doesn't justify some behaviors. But what it does do is it puts into light thousands and thousands of problems that are out there. It's stress. People don't know how to deal with stress. So I tell you that half of Americans report a hostile, unpleasant, dangerous work environment. I tell you that most of the cops in the country can't sleep. They're extremely stressed and they're having heart attacks left and right. And you say, wow, that still sounds a little bit out there. And, well, those are specialized events. Did you know in the United States every week, 20 workers are murdered by co-workers? That's nearly 3 a day. In the United States, 3 people are murdered every day by their co-workers. That's a hostile work environment, my friends. It's not specialized. It's generalized. It's everywhere. Jimmy says, come on over here Friday night and I'll teach you how to deal with stress. And 15 minutes into it, you guys are totally stressed out and this is all bad news. How do we fix it? Where is the remedy? It's a very simple technique. As a matter of fact, we're going to be reiterating this process throughout this workshop. I'll tweak it minorly here or there so that you understand how to apply it in each situation, but it's the same technique. It's the same ideas. We're going to use time. We're going to use our friends. We're going to think about the future. We're going to prioritize, and we're going to change our mindset. Five things. And now, you don't even have to memorize those. Because once I get to talking about it, they all go kind of hand in hand. So, let's talk first about time. Time. In the workplace, thinking about work, dealing with contractors, dealing with subcontractors, dealing with customers, employers, employees. Time. When you hit a stressful situation in your workplace, when there's a moment when you feel it build up, all you have to do is take a moment. You take a moment and separate yourself from that situation. How does the gazelle lower the stress level at the water bowl? Well, he leaves. But he doesn't owe anything to GMC Corporation, right? He doesn't have to pay rent. He just has to find some grass. So we can't leave our job. That's not what I'm asking for. I'm asking for 5 seconds. If you got 10 minutes and you can take it, that's even better. 5 seconds. That's all I'm asking for. No employer in the United States will deny you 5 seconds. They can't even see you not working for 5 seconds. Maybe in Japan, but not in the United States. 5 seconds. All you have to do is separate yourself from that stressful environment. You don't have to do it physically. Do you know what the biggest problem with being a human is and trying to work the way we need to and want to and should work? We can't focus. You can't find somebody that can focus. Can't happen. Because humans, our minds outpace our want. So our minds take off on their own little tangents. We daydream. We fantasize. We think about other things. We try to dual task or multitask. Why can't you do that to help yourself? Why can't you use that as a tool? 5 seconds, daydream, fantasize, I don't care what you want to call it, about peace. About not this stressful situation. Separate yourself from the stressful situation. 5 seconds, 10 minutes if you got it, by taking yourself mentally out of that position. You know, God directed this exact same idea thousands of years ago. It's not me that came up with it. Psalm 37. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. We're not talking about eternal life. What we're talking about is life here. Now, does that lead toward? Yes, absolutely. But let's focus on today. And then as we move, you'll see how that easily transitions into tomorrow. Rest in the Lord. Take a break and think about God. Think about righteousness. Think about good. Now, you could say, well, okay, but we're talking about something totally different. The psalmist isn't worried about your stress level. Really? Read the rest of the passage. It says, do not fret. Do not worry. Worry is thinking and focusing on a stressful environment, on a stressful situation. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way, or because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. This is a workplace. So your coworker just jabbed you to try to get the promotion. Bible says don't worry about it. Think about God. Take yourself out of the situation for 5 seconds and think about good. Now we'll talk about friends. How many friends you got in the workplace? If somebody, okay, think about where you work now, or if you're retired, think about where you did work last. Raise your hand if you didn't have any friends at the workplace. Okay? I'm going to have to tell you that you were doing it wrong. You need friends to confide in. You need friends to build yourself up to work on it. This is why I say that that is the wrong idea. It's the wrong technique to go through life with. And I really, you were the employer. You had people under you. It's hard to be friends with them. Not impossible. Not only that, you also have people who may not have been directly associated with your business, but maybe a similar business. And those people, you can befriend. Here's the reason why. Proverbs says, a man with too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know who sticks closer than a brother? Somebody who can see eye to eye with you. My little brother, we didn't see eye to eye. There were so many times we just totally disagreed. Had no idea what he saw. He had no idea what I saw. Because we lived in different worlds. You know, we operated in different ways of life. But the guys that I work with, they experience the exact same things that I do every single day. They know what my perspective of that is. And there's a few of them who are even Christians. Oh, wait a minute. Now we're talking about somebody who goes through the same ordeal as I do, reads the same policies as I do, has the same chiding as I do, has the same stress levels as I do, and they also have God in their life. That's the same perspective. They can be a friend to me and help me to overcome the problems. They are a friend in that manner, in that respect, that are closer than my brother was to me. Because we can help each other. through every problem that arises at work. At work, make a friend. And I don't mean an associate. I mean someone you can trust in. Someone who has similarities and commonalities with you. You need a friend to build you up. If you don't, find someone in a similar position somewhere that you can befriend. Because, I'm sorry friends, we can't do anything by ourselves. We're terrible at that. We need a support system. That's why we have best friends, brothers and sisters. That's why we have parents. That's why we have spouses. That's why we have everything in our society, everything in our culture, everything in humanity deals with people together. We need a support system. You need one at work to help build you up. Now let's think about the third thing. How do you deal with a stressful situation? Well, why don't you think about tomorrow? Why don't you think about the future? What are your goals in your job, in your career, and what are the stepping stones to get there? So here's the thing. You have to answer the question so that you're prepared to understand it when these situations come up. So do not raise your hand. Do not answer out loud. Be honest with yourself because you're the only one in this room who will hear you, besides God. What's your goal in your career? Is it promotion? Is it management? Is it ownership? Is it ownership? Is it transition to ownership of your own? Is it expansion of the business? Is it being rich? Wow. Well, that's a terrible thing to add on the end of that, isn't it? But why do you want a promotion? More money, right? Well, there's also more responsibility. There's also more freedom. There's also more being tied down. There's pros and cons all the way, but ultimately, most people want promotions for more money. Most people want to start their own businesses so they can make their own money. Do it better. You know, we'll talk about money in a minute, but what are your goals? And I think it's very important that you really understand what your goals are, because if your goals are wrong, if your goals are not in the right place, then you're going to have a very, very hard time dealing with stress because it's going to destroy and get in the way of those other goals. 1 Timothy, Paul tells him, instruct them to do what? Do good. To be rich in good works. To be generous, ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future. So that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. What is the goal that Paul wants Timothy to instruct them in? Management, ownership, acceleration of the business, and prosperity, and no. Do good to other people. Spread happiness. Now, we'll talk about that in a minute. So, the idea here is to understand your goals. Because if your goal is promotion, and your coworker is undermining you, I guarantee you, you won't be able to get rid of that stress because your goal will always be cut short by that guy. You can't fix that. He's still going to do it. If your goal is riches, well, what did everybody think in 2008? If your goal is retirement, and then they cancel Social Security. If your goal is physically, if it's worldly, if it's fiscally oriented, it's bound to be destroyed. It's bound to be hedged, and it's bound to be cut off at the pass. And that is very difficult to overcome. You've got to totally reset your goals every time that happens. More stress. Work should not stress you out. And part of the reason people are stressed at work is their goal. Do you want to do good and somebody's keeping you from doing good? That statement doesn't even make sense. Nobody can keep you from doing good. It may slow down certain avenues that you've taken, but doing good doesn't get stopped. Why would we want to do this? Why would you want to think about changing your goals from money or position or power to simply doing good for other people? Well, I'll tell you, because number four is to prioritize things. We need to determine how important everything in life is. How important is the situation that's causing us stress? How important is it compared to our goals? And how important are those goals? See, everything needs a priority. What's the highest priority? Be careful. Before we go into it, let's hear what God says. Back in Proverbs, it's a wise saying. It says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you'll discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. What are we trying to do here? We're trying to grow. We're trying to make ourselves better in life. We're trying to accelerate everything that we are. Can you do that with retirement? Can you do that with a title? Can you do that with a paycheck? Make yourself better. Well, I can dress better. We'll talk about that in a minute. Doesn't make you any better. I can drive a better car. We'll talk about that in a minute. Doesn't make you any better. I can have more power to boss people around. I'm fairly certain that doesn't make you a better person. But doing better, good works, helping people, making people happy. I don't know many people that would disagree with me. That's a good person. That's making yourself better. So if you can prioritize your life to helping other people, you will make yourself better. But that means you got to change your goals. See how everything kind of goes hand in hand? And you can't change your goals. And you can't make the most important thing helping other people. You can't focus on the time and use it as a tool. And you can't help friends help you if you don't do number five. You've got to change your mindset, because you are the one that determines how you receive everything that comes at you. You are the one that determines your mood. In Romans 12, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You are the one that has to change your mind. If you don't want to do it, it's not going to happen. Because you see, no matter how hard you try, how many years you work, how high up the ladder you climb, or how much money your paycheck is, ultimately, happiness has nothing to do with where you work. Happiness is not a career. Happiness, my friends, is a state of mind. So what does God think about work? Because if you know what God thinks about work, then you know how you should think about work. God says in Colossians 3, whatever you do, do your work heartily. Work hard. Wow. God says, work hard. He says, though, as for the Lord, rather than men. What does that mean? You work at McDonald's, you're flipping burgers for God? No, that's not what that means. That means if you're a burger flipper at Burger King and God walks in and sits at the table, you want him to look back at the way you're making his hamburger and say, good job. Because if you can do that, then your whole mindset is based on excelling, growing, doing better. If your job is passing out carts at Walmart, that's a joke at my work. And when I retire, that's where I'm going. Imagine God walking through the sliding doors and you grabbing a buggy that has a messed up wheel. Oh, hang on, sir. Let me get you a good one. Have you ever had that happen? You know, that person would be thinking about you and you would take notice. And that's how you would, that's the card you would want to give to God, not the messed up one, right? You see, by working and by taking pride in what you do and working and thinking for others, about others and for others, suddenly the little things that pop up don't matter so much. So what? It's got messed up wheels. I'll put it over there and deal with it later. This guy's got to get on his way. Now he's happy. And I did that. And that's awesome. Stress? It's already coming down. Proverbs. The diligent find freedom in their work and the lazy are oppressed by their work. Okay, hang on a minute. So, every one of us, at some point in your life, hit the snooze button too many times. Didn't set the alarm. Didn't hear it because you stayed up. You woke up late. Whoa! I'm already 30 minutes late. So what do? You got to make up time, right? You run. You don't even take a shower. Well, that's awesome. Everybody's going to appreciate that. And you know it. So you throw your clothes on, probably your shirt's on backwards. You run to the office. Hopefully you don't get a ticket along the way. Everybody's in your way and they're slowing you down. And you pull in and you only made up 10 minutes. You're 20 minutes late now. And the boss is mad. You know what he does? He puts extra work on your table as punishment. And that's not fair. I was only 20 minutes late. You gave me an extra hour's worth of work. Your whole day is shot. You hate being there. You know why? You're too lazy to wake up. What about those days you woke up like 10 seconds before the alarm? You opened your eyes and you looked over and you went, oh, click. You got up, you got dressed, you had enough time to get it done, you did it right, you drove to work without speeding, without cutting people off, because you were nice and calm and you had time to get it done, and you get there 5 minutes before everybody else. And you look around and you go, and when you walk in, the boss sees you. You know what he does? Good morning. Your whole day starts off right. God says, 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, that's how it's going to be. But that was even before they had alarm clocks, and he already knew this was happening. Friends, if you think about time and use it as a tool, you think about friends, you have them in your workplace, and you use them, and they use you as a tool to help. And if you think about your future, realign your goals with good, with God. If you prioritize your life that way and change your mind, your stress will bleed off as soon as it hits. Because it doesn't affect you in the long term. And that's our problem with stress. We hang on to it. It's not talking about no troubles will ever come up to you. Talking about don't hang on to them so your heart isn't filled with troubles.